Well, Brother Jose told me that even though there's not a lot of us tonight, he's still nervous. So, ask that you would offer up a prayer that he would be able to bear the message of the Lord tonight, and I'll give you our priest, Jose Galvan.
I'd like to thank you all for being here today, and just like Brother Adam say, he's like, you got this, it's no problem. But to me, 20 people is like 300 people. My hands are clamming, are clam. but. I know that the Lord will lead me in this message, and I'm happy to be here, and I'd like to welcome those who are on live streaming. Thank you for taking the time and to hear the word that God has for us tonight. I remember the first time that our brother Andrew Brown was he got to bring a message forward, and he I remember those words that he said. They how can I come and stand in front of you and teach you the words that Christ has for you when you have heard them already from others. From other ministers. So I'm not teaching anything to you tonight that you don't know. Pretty much the gospel of Christ has been taught many, many, many times. But we still, every time we open our Bible, I'm sure you notice, every time you open your Bible, you find something different. And it's either whatever is going through you, you're going through life, you open the Bible and God talks to you. Somehow, He always gives you what you want to hear to comfort you, because He promised that He will never leave us alone, and that's one of the promises that we have these days, that we're not walking alone in this world. The first song that we sing, I believe it was 376, said, I need Jesus. We always need Jesus. Who doesn't need Jesus? These days that we live in this world is full of things that this world offers you. And somehow, that joy that you get from the materialism that this world offers you, it brings you happiness. Yes, joy. It's either for something new, a car, a dress, clothing, or anything like that. It brings you joy, but then that joy disappears. Jesus brings you joy, a joy that lasts forever. Those who do not know Jesus, who do not know God, may not understand, but it is always an opportunity for them to hear what God has for them prepared. And just like the there is a scripture in the Bible. Let me see if I can find it here. God has choose disciples to bring those good news to those who do not know the plans or who do not know the love of Christ. Yeah, this is in Acts. We'll get that. I was going to bring it forward for us, but this guy who was going who went to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way back, he was reading a chapter from Isaiah, and the Spirit talked to Barnabas, and told him to go and meet him on the way, and he clarified to him what he was reading in the specific scripture. So today, we do have that responsibility. We have the same opportunity to bring those good news to people that do not know Jesus, and that is why our ministers goes far countries to bring the gospel of Christ to those people who somehow they got to know or hear about the Church of Christ and internet or whoever, and they contact us, and that is how the gospel of Christ is being preached, is getting preached in all the world, and that is the one of the covenants that we have. The Christ, we pretty much living in the end days, because his gospel has been going all over the world, and there, and that is telling us that he is coming. He's coming soon. We're going to read to start with in John. John chapter 1, we're going to read 1 to 5. John chapter 1, 1 to 5. I've been sneezing all morning, and I think I'm running something. I don't know where it is, but my throat is pretty dry, so I'm going to take a drink of water. I'm not trying to hide. I was hoping for Brother Adam to do a long introducing. I was pretty sure. We're going to read 1 to 5 and chapter 1 of John. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. And in Spanish, it says that the darkness, the light is more strong than the darkness. This is from the beginning. It's telling us, it's talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was in the beginning, and from him, by him, everything was made. And I'm pretty sure you know in the beginning and the Genesis, it says, let us make man in our image. This is two persons talking, not just one. And there is people out there that believe that God is just God, Jehovah. They don't believe that is that God is three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. So we believe that everything was made by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everything that is in this world, and even us, were made in his image. It says that the darkness did not prevail against the light. Can we go to Genesis 1, 2? Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. It says, and the earth was without form and void. I didn't know what void was means, so I searched, and there's like no value. It's like something that is empty, something that is worthless. And the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. I've been thinking about this a couple Wednesdays ago. We have this special Wednesday for prayers. And I believe it was Brother Aaron who was in charge. And that was the first time that we began to be concerned of many of us, maybe some of those who are listening to me right now and on live streaming. We are concerned for those who have not make that decision to be followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a very important thing to do in these latter days. We need to make that decision. Just like in Genesis says, the earth was without form, and darkness was up on the face of the deep. These days, I'm sure you have known all the things that are going on around our world. Things that you never heard before. Laws that have passed the government. People killing each other. Even worse, in Mexico, where I'm from, there's just so much evil these days. You kind of think about it. We are in the last days. But maybe these people who are committing all these problems, maybe they don't know anything about what is ahead of them, what is being prepared for them. I don't think they have no idea. And because if they do, they won't be doing this. Darkness. I believe the darkness is still around us, surrounding us, just like in the beginning. And unless we do something about it, darkness will continue growing around us. We have so many church members and family and friends who have been coming to church and visiting us, and maybe they're not here because they're desiring to be here. They're looking for something. They're looking for that something that is missing in their hearts. And I truly believe that because I can see them. There is no happiness in their faces. And what are they doing to make themselves happy? They're keeping themselves busy doing something else. And if you know them, you're like, hey, why don't you come to church with me today? Or why don't you come to church this day? We're going to have a special something or activity. They always find an excuse. I don't know why they do that. What? It's the ignorance of men, because they haven't known God. But God has grace. God has grace on each of us. That even we do those things every day, each day that you get to get up and put your feet in the ground, you have an opportunity to know him. And if you know him, you have an opportunity to ask for forgiveness of your sins. and continue on, because he has mercy. He's the Father of mercy. He has grace for you. We're humans, and we make mistakes, always. The rich man come to Christ and say, "Hey, good master." Christ turned around and said, "Why you call me good? No one's good here, except my Father in heaven. No one's good here." We all sin. We all sin every day. Every day. There's things that you do without even thinking that you are making a big mistake. The Spirit of God moved. In Acts 2:2, it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind upon the face of the waters." The Spirit of God is still moving around us. He's here. Brother Huber always says, God is here with us right now. He's right next to you. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what is in your heart right now. And when he mentioned those words, it really make you think about it. And that is when you start to fear him. Because he loves those who fear him. The work of grace in the soul of man, it's a new creation. And a soul without grace, one who has not been born yet, is a soul with emptiness. It's just like in the beginning, like what it says in Genesis 1:2. It's full of darkness because they haven't come to the understanding and knowledge of Christ. John 3:3. John chapter 3, verse 3, if you want to turn there. It talks about the of Christ talking to, what was his name? Nicodemus? He told him, "You cannot see the kingdom of God unless if you are born again." Here's this guy, 18 years, 19 years, I don't know how many years he had. He looked pretty old. How can I get back in my mother's womb and be born again? Maybe that's how we think today. Maybe that's how people think today. Wait a minute, how can I be born again? You know, and that's when you come on and say, "Well, you have to do this and that." They're not exactly, not literally, you're going to go back in mama's womb and come out again. That's not how it is. But people today, when it comes to the Word of God, they can be a little ignorant because they don't know God. Sometimes I see on TV people going around asking, "Hey, do you know who's Jesus?" And you'd be surprised how many people they like. They come up with different questions and answers. And you'll be like, "Wow, you know, we don't know everything. We don't know everything. We don't know what God has for us. We just know a little bit. We just know a little bit. We pretty much know the main words, the main things that we need for us, for our life to be better than others, for us to be afraid of God." The man without grace is in disorder, confusion, and every evil work. It is empty of all good. It is without God. When God is not in your life, you do evil things. But you may think that you're not doing those things. But in God's eyes, they're not pleasant. This is the condition of a natural man. And that's how he acts. And to God, grace works and change himself. And then his life will be different. Our lives will be different. Once we make the change and be a new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. We just read in John 3:3 what Christ told Nicodemus about what to do to be a new person, to be a newborn, to be to have a second chance that he might start all over again and do things right. But we have a long way. We have a long way ahead of us. It's a race. It's a race that you're going to run into obstacles that it might kind of trip you and make you fall, follow a different way. But we have the understanding of God. And if that happens to you, stand up, shake up, and continue on. It's either about, like I said, there's so many things up there that offers you that joy. You can go to a bar to have a drink without consciously in mind that you're not going to go do anything, but you're in a place where anything can happen. And unless if you're really strong, but just the fact that you are in a place where if somebody else sees you and know who you are, you might be judged. And we're trying to avoid that. It's nothing wrong to have fun. It's nothing wrong to go around, to go places and have fun and enjoy your hard work. That you work through the week and tired or whatever. Here comes the weekend and it's good to go have fun. There's nothing wrong with that. And to certainly point. How can we earn the kingdom of heaven if we are not baptized? If we are haven't made that commandment. A lot of people, they're like, well, you know, I'm a good person. I'm doing good. I help people. I help whoever is in need. And churches, well, you know, we went to build houses in this country and whatever. And doing good things is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. As a Catholic, that might be the only thing I remember because I don't remember much about being a Catholicism. It says if you do good things, every time you do one good thing, there's a step out to get to heaven. It's like some kind of ladder or something. So each thing you do something good, you earn a step. And each time you do that, you're getting close to heaven. But that's not what it is. And that is when you come to the realization, when you start to read the book of God. When you start to read the Bible, when you start to read the Book of Mormon, which is more clarified. In my case, when I start to read the Book of Mormon, I become to this. I mean, everything come too clear to me. And in fact, I didn't even know how to read the Bible. I learned so much because the church, the Catholic Church, don't teach you to do that. And if they teach you, you have to pay. You have no money, you don't learn. They just keep you under the tongue. When the father asked me when I was ready to get to do my communion, my first communion, the father asked me, "Are you a sinner?" And I said, "No, I'm not a sinner." So he smacked me in the head. What was the reason? I don't know. I believe I was 9 years. I was maybe in understanding good and bad. So maybe I was a sinner. But he didn't have to help me. We go to Alma chapter 5. We're going to read 24, verse 24 to 25. It says, "Now I say unto you that ye must repent and be born again. For the Spirit said, if ye are not born again, ye are not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, come and be baptized into repentance, that ye may be washed from your sins, that ye may have faith in the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world, which is mighty to save and to cleanse from all unrighteousness." John 3:16 says that God loved, so loved the world, that he sent his only Son to pay for our sins. He already purchased you. We own him. But he also has given us the opportunity to choose from. We don't have to go outside and do sacrifices, kill animals, and do all those crazy things which so much blood, so much. He was the last sacrifice. He paid for us. He paid for our sins. Now we have pretty much, we have the freedom to choose one way or another. But he's right there. He's giving you the opportunity to come to him. He said that he is outside of your door, knocking, waiting for you to open and let him in. No matter how big that sin is, as long as you have breath, you have an opportunity to come to him and repent. And he will forgive you, because he loves every each of us. He is the light. He is the only way. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 3, it says, he was talking about Nicodemus. I want to read it again. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God. You know, I don't come to the full understanding about when he says the kingdom of God is at hand. But then he said to Thomas asked him, "Show us the Father, and we believe." He's like, "How long have I been with you guys, and you have another Father?" The Father is in me and I am in him. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is here. We're running out of time. We run out of time to come to him. Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 15. Hold on. 6:15 says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor circumcision, but a new creature." We don't have to be circumcised no more. That was the law that was given to the Jews in those days of Moses because they had a hard heart. Today, this, the circumcision is our heart offered to him. So if you do something like this, it has no value. It has no value because he said, you know, we have to love our Father, God the Father, with all our heart and all our mind. And we will be a new creature. So, how can we earn the kingdom of heaven? We have to put the darkness inside. We had to stop doing the things that we like to do. It is hard. It says you be a new creature when you born again. Yes, you be speaking with words of an angel. That means no more cussing, no more listening to music that you shouldn't be listening. You'll be so different. That is, if you fear God, the other people won't know the difference in you. We're going to go to Alma 5, chapter 5, verse 41, 42. 41, 42. Chapter 5 of Alma. It says, "And now, my beloved brethren, I have spoken these words unto you according to the Spirit which is testified in me. And my soul do excitingly rejoice because of the exciting diligence and heed which ye have given unto my words." And I think I jumped to 42. "And may the Lord bless you and keep your garments spotless, that ye may at last be brought to sit down with Abraham as Isaac and Jacob and the holy prophets, which have been ever since the world began, having your garments spotless, even as their garments are spotless, and the kingdom of heaven to go no more out." My message today is about, like I said in the beginning, about loved ones that haven't been baptized. God will prepare the day. He will prepare the day, especially that day, and they will know this is the time to come to him. They will know. I know. God has grace for all of us. What does grace mean? Grace means love and action toward men who merit the opposite of love. Grace means God is moving heaven and earth to save sinners who could not lift a finger to save themselves. Grace means that God sending his only son to descend into hell on the cross so that we guilty ones might be reconciled to God and receive in heaven. Christ paid for ourselves, for our sins. I'm sorry. He paid for our sins. God sent his only son. Just like Abraham, it was about to sacrifice Isaac. Abraham loved Isaac. But he was obedient to God, that he obeyed God without argument, bringing his son to this mountain and getting ready to sacrifice him. And Isaac, as obedient, they said that he was a young man, so he knew what was happening. He was carrying the wood that was for him. There was no lamb around, but just him. So I believe he would know what was going on. And then finally he opened his mouth and asked him, "See the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb?" And Abraham answered him, which is, I believe that came from God. He put those words on Abraham. God will provide the lamb. And he did. He did provide it. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made righteousness of God in him." Isaiah 53, that's a really famous scripture that I maybe have read a few times already. I think it's my favorite one. It says, "Surely," I'm sorry, 53, chapter 53, verse 4 and 6. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we dare esteem him, strike him, smite him, God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, that the chastisement our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. We suffer every day. Sin is not happiness. And he took all that pain for us. Brother Glenn, once he mentioned the death is like a wasp, let's put it a wasp, who has a sting, that if that thing reach you, it will sting you. And I have stepped on bees when I used to swim in the river when I was a little boy, being careless, stepping on a bee and get stung. And I tell you, that's not pleasure. I was sitting there and screaming and going all over the place because it hurts. It hurts. Christ took the sting away, that we may not have no more pain. We will be scared, yes, when we close to the age. I wasn't scared when I was in the hospital. I know that Christ was with me, and somehow I believe that I'd be okay. And here I am. I'm healthy as a horse because I always was healthy, never been in the hospital. The hospital didn't even have record on me in these many years because I never suffered any sicknesses. Who knows? Maybe God was trying to teach me something. Like as he's trying to teach you something to you right now. He gave us the strength. He gave us our strength that we need of every day. I do heavy work. I do landscaping. And somehow, I don't know, like I said, I'm skinny guy, but I'm strong. The other day, I spread 12 tons of rock, 3/8, by myself in 7 hours. And they asked me, the owner of the house asked me, how can you do that? Where do you get all your strength? I just laughed. God gives you the strength that you need. Isaiah 40:26. Chapter 40. It says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things. They bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is a strong in power. Not one failed. He knows your names. He knows each of you. And even if you go through hard times, he will not let you fall by yourself. And Matthew 10:31 says, fear ye not. Therefore, you are more valued than many sparrows. And another scripture says, if he cares about the flowers of the field, how can he won't care about you being children of God? All you got to do is call up to him. Call up on his name, and he will hear you. We have a promise, and God is right there with you. Listen, waiting for you. Because if he cares about all these things that surround us, all these things that he made, he cares about you too. Will he not have a name for each of us? Will God do so much for stars and not enough for men? Will he not guard and guide each if he has sustained the earths and the fields? Well, he fell as they come to him. And Acts 1:11 is telling us about when Christ left this earth, that he went to heaven. And right there, he's like, I go so that God can send you a helper, which is the Holy Spirit, who will teach us how to walk in this earth. That's the small still voice that we hear sometimes when we are about to do something. And sometimes we do ignore that feeling, which is the Holy Spirit talking to you. Don't do it. Don't go there. Acts 1:11. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall also come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. That is one of my chapter that I love to read. Because these days, there's so many people that believe that he is here already, that he is in some kind of mountain, he's around with us, but he's invisible. But this right here clarifies us that he will come in the clouds in his glory. We don't know when. And Matthew 24 is telling us not to believe those people that are going around spreading the false doctrines. Not to believe them. It is clear right here in Acts 1:11. It says the same way he went up, he will come down. In Isaiah 40:31, I believe I are. Yeah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We should have that expectation that he is giving us a strength, and that no matter what we do, we won't get tired. Like I just said, he's with us. Sometimes me and my brothers, Adam and Gary, we go mountain biking, and it is interesting, the feeling when you like going uphill. Your heart wants to come out. It's really good exercise for you, but oh my goodness, the first time I did it, I thought I was going to pass out. But God, it says that he will give you the strength. He will give you like wings of eagle that you should run and not be weary. And they shall walk as not faith. Brother Jacobson brought up the Olympics the other day about those who are competing for the gold. Those that they run, the trail, the run thing, I see them. How they act when they don't win that medal. They throw themselves in the ground and they cry and they do all this commotion because they didn't win. They didn't get the gold medal. As Christians, we are in the same track. We are running. And our goal is to meet the end, to endure to the end, that we may have that reward, a crown of gold. And our Christian life is almost the same. Brother Andy mentioned the other day too, it's been a while that you guys, when you go to Missouri, the scripture camp, and they do this test about they put in a rope through trees, and they put the kids to the test. See how if they don't let go the rope, that is almost the same thing about Lehi's vision about the rod of iron. Don't let go. If you let go, you will get lost. You will get lost, and you will end somewhere where you might be sorry for yourself. And we have that trial every day. We need to grab on into that bar, which is our scriptures. We need to grab on into our scriptures. We need to read them, that we may not lose that faith, that we may not lose that path where we are. That's the building right there. It's right next to us. That offers you anything you want. Anything you want. And how true that is, that when you come to Christ and you make the commandment, and then through the time, slowly, you slide to the other side where that building is, full of richness and fun. Second Corinthians 5:1-10. Chapter 5. For we know that if our early house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands in the eternal heavens. That is our hope, to be in that house. John 14:2, Christ said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go there to prepare a place for you." How awesome is that? That is one of our promise that we have. That he went to prepare a room for us in his Father's house. For in this groom, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we should not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we will be unclothed, but clothed upon the mortality, that mortality may be swallowed up in life. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame things is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether be good or bad. What happened to this body? I don't really care, because flesh and blood won't go into heaven. But it says willing rather to be absent from the body of this tabernacle and to be present with the Lord. I will read Revelations 20, 11 to 15. I'm not going to read that, but that's pretty much what it explains about what it says in 2 Corinthians. We're going to read Alma 9:26, chapter 9, Alma chapter 9:26-30. But this cannot be. We must come forth and stand before him in his glory, and in his power, and in his might, majesty, and dominion, and acknowledge to our everlasting shame that all his judgments are just, that he is just in all his works, and that he is merciful unto the children of men, and that he had all power to save every man that will live in his name and bring forth fruit meet for repentance. And now behold, I say unto you, then cometh a death, even a second death, which is a spiritual death. Then it's time that whosoever die in his sins, as to the temporal death, shall also die a spiritual death. Yea, he should die as to things pertaining unto righteousness. Then is the time when their torments shall be as a lake of fire and brimstone, whose flames succeeding up forever and ever. He has all the power to save you, to save you, to save me. He has the last word. Come to him. He's waiting. He's waiting for you. Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is not of him. So what do we do? What did he call us to do? We can read that in Mark 16, please. We're going to Mark chapter 16, verse 16. We're going to read 15, all the way to 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. He that believe not shall be There's no other way around. For me to express myself, that we need Christ every day, just like the first song that we sing. We need Christ every day. He's the only one that can lead us through to the kingdom of God. That is our point of following him. Because this world is going to pass and everything in it. Some people don't believe that, but this world is going to pass. My mom, being someone who did not know how to read or write, she told me once, the first world was destroyed by water, but the second time is going to be destroyed by fire. How did she know that? I don't know. She didn't know how to read or write. In Acts 8:36-37. We're almost done here. And as they went underway, they came into a certain water. This is talking about what I mentioned this and when I began about how are they supposed to know about Christ when no one is going to teach them. 36. To 38, I believe I said. To 37, I'm sorry. And as they went underway, they came into a certain water, and there in the eunuch say, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip, that's his name. "Say, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." God told this man who brought a son to him with a demon in him. And the disciples cannot rebuke him. And Christ asked him, "Do you believe?" And the man with loud voice, he told him, "Help me to believe, that I may believe." Do we believe that Christ can save you these days? Do we believe that Christ is the Son of God? Yes, he is. And he is the only way. John 14:6 says, Jesus say, "I am the way." He is the only way. 2 Nephi 13. You go there real quick. Second 13:27. "And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I will ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far. Save it, wherewith by the word of Christ with unshaking faith in him. We have to have that faith. Once we go into the waters of baptism, we have to have that faith that he is guiding us, relying and wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, ye must press forward with steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and love of God and all men. Wherefore, if you should press forward, fasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thou say the Father, you should have eternal life. I will say like my brother Hubert says, bingo. Revelations 21:6. He said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give you life freely. He said in the, I believe it's in Matthew, he said, come unto me and I will give you freely those who are thirsty. And Isaiah says you don't have to pay. It's free. What's stopping you? I'm here. My last verse that I have here to read is the God loves you. He loves every each of us here today. And like I said, again, my message was for those who have not made that commandment. That for some reason, almost like this whole month, we've been talking about our loved ones, brothers, friends, sisters, they have not come to Christ. Even they know, some of them, they've even born in this church and grown up in this church, and they haven't made that commandment, that change in their life. I keep words in my mind most of the time. I remember Brother Adam said, it's hard to leave those good, evil habits that this world offers you. I hope that this message brought comfort in your life, and there was a blessing for you this day that you might want to give it a good thought. Thank you.